Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On February 5th, 61-year-old Douglas Shifter, a New York City chauffeur, shot and killed himself in a rented car outside the gates of New York City Hall. In a lengthy suicide note he left on Facebook, he wrote that he worked 100 to 120 consecutive hours almost every week. When the industry started back in 1981, he averaged 40 to 50 hours a week. He wrote, quote, "Due to the huge number of cars available with desperate drivers trying to feed their families. They squeeze rates to below operating costs and force professionals like me out of business. They count their money and we are driven down into the streets we drive, becoming homeless and hungry. I will not be a slave working for chump change. I would rather be dead," end quote. Doug Shifter is right about desperate drivers trying to make ends meet. The Bureau of Labor Statistics calculates that the annual median income for drivers, we're talking about taxis, limos, drivers for Uber and Lyft, is barely more than $24,000 a year. In his suicide note, Doug Shifter blamed New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and former Governor Michael Bloomberg for destroying a once-thriving industry. He wrote that there are over 100,000 of us suffering daily now. Near the end of his letter, he wrote, quote, "I hope with the public sacrifice I make now that some attention to the plight of the drivers and the people will be done to save them, and it will have not been done in vain," end quote. On today's Your Call, we are discussing the plight of drivers, taxi, Uber, Lyft, and for hire. How much do they work to make ends meet? What changes would they like to see? And how have they been affected by Doug Shifter's suicide? Today, we are joined by Saeed Mohsin. He has been a San Francisco taxi driver for more than 20 years. And I met Saeed in a taxi just a couple of weeks ago. Hi, Saeed. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for calling in.
We're also joined today by Edward Escobar. He is a San Francisco Uber and Lyft driver who is working to organize drivers and gig economy workers. He is the founder of the Alliance for Independent Workers. They use the hashtag Drivers Unite. Hi, Edward. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And we're joined by Congress member Adriano Espaillat. He represents New York's 13th District. He recently proposed replacing New York's Taxi and Limousine Commission entirely with a new oversight body that would regulate all for hire driving. Hi, Congressman Espaillat. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Congressmember, when I heard about Doug Shifter's suicide, I was shocked and really surprised that it didn't get more media attention. He shot and killed himself right in front of New York City Hall. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I was horrified, just like everybody else. But let me just say to you that two other drivers have committed suicide as well and have left notes, similar notes, to the one left by this driver who committed suicide right in front of City Hall. So I was concerned and horrified that it has gotten to this. And we're sort of like on emergency mode right now, and we're looking to see what dramatic changes could occur to prevent this from happening again, but also to reform the entire industry and the regulatory bodies around the industry in a way that will be responsive to a new modality of transportation across the city and the state of New York.
Congressman Espaillat, how are companies like Uber and Lyft regulated in New York? Here in California, they are regulated by the California Public Utilities Commission, and we invited them to join us today, but they declined our invitation.
Well, they are regulated by the Taxi Limousine Commission in the city of New York. This entity, the Taxi Limousine Commission, has been for a long, long time a very troubled agency, which has been archaic and really like a dinosaur agency that has not been able to adapt itself to changes. Traditionally, they regulated yellow cabs and livery cabs. Well, now you have green cabs, you have Uber, Lyft, and that industry emerging, and you have like a tremendous high volume of new drivers flooding the market. So that contributed, obviously, to some of the demands that, unfortunately, were written in that letter before this person committed suicide.
Bay Ravi Desai, founding member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance and a longtime labor organizer, is joining us soon. She said that there used to be about 13,000 yellow cabs and 40,000 other cars on New York City streets, and now there are about 130,000. No one can earn a living. Congressmember, you're joining us from New York. We reached out to a few congresspeople here in California. We reached out to Uber. We reached out to Lyft, the California CPUC. None of them agreed to come on the show. I mean, is this on the minds of New York politicians? And what do you plan to do to tackle this crucial issue?
Well, many see this to be a very local issue, but to me it's an important issue because, as you said, the market has ballooned to uncontrolled numbers, and there's no capping in the number of, for example, drivers, nor the number of livery bases that could open up. And so the more drivers that you have, let's say you reach 200,000, that will have a dramatic impact on the market. The yellow cab industry has melted from a medallion that was worth over $1 million, is now being sold for under $200,000. They're basically in a meltdown and in bankruptcy. The livery cab industry, which traditionally was very vigorous, now is impacted by the competition from Lyft and Uber. And, of course, even the Lyft and Uber's drivers want better conditions and more regulations that will protect them, so as well as our customers want that. So this is a new industry, and we must adapt to the new demands of all of them, the yellow cab, green cars, black cars, livery drivers, and green cars as well.
And you're proposing replacing New York's Taxi and Limousine Commission with a new oversight body that would regulate all for-hire driving. I'm sure you know that a number of organizers say that this just doesn't go far enough.
Well, let me say first that currently the Taxi Limousine Commission has its own enforcement unit. It has its own court. And I propose that the enforcement unit should be taken out of the commission and given to the police department so these agents could be trained appropriately, they could be supervised and monitored, and there could be greater cooperation and communication with the industry and drivers. In addition, the courts must be on their own as well. These cannot continue to be a kangaroo court where TLC, the Taxi Limousine Commission, plays judge, prosecutor, and jury. And drivers just basically go there to be found guilty of very steep fines. For example, the fines begin at $1,500 and they can go as high as $10,000 for hailing in the street. Unforeseen, you're basically wiping out the driver, telling them if they engage in hailing, which very often they have to because they're forced into it because of the high number of drivers and bases right now flooding the market. And so these two measures, taking out the enforcement unit and the court unit within TLC, will leave the commission just with a regulatory component, and we must take a look at that and reform that as well. I think that goes very deep, very, very, it's very comprehensive.
Well, Congressmember Espaillat, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Congressmember Adriano Espaillat represents New York's 13th District, and he wants to replace New York's Taxi and Limousine Commission with a new oversight body. We did invite California Assembly members Phil Ting and Evan Lowe to join us. They both declined our invitation. We also invited Uber and Lyft to join us. Uber got back to us and said no one was available. Lyft never responded. The California Public Utilities Commission, which regulates companies like Uber and Lyft here in California, also declined to participate. Before we go in and talk about that, Saeed, you've been a San Francisco taxi driver for more than 20 years. As Congressmember Espaillat said, Doug Shifter is not the first person in New York to shoot and kill himself. He is the third person to commit suicide.
Yes, that's very true. The thing here is, first of all, I got to admire you, Rose, for bringing this issue, because in San Francisco, not many stations carried what has happened to this poor livery driver. So I admire you for your courage. So including BBC, they were all silent. So I don't have to go in details. As a matter of fact, you know why this thing was not publicized. Why? Because everybody is in the pocket of Uber. Uber is paying everybody to keep hush-hush. They do not say anything, number one. Number two, I got to admire this congressman. He got lots of guts. We need these kind of politicians. This guy is not looking for the next election. He is looking at the next generation. So hats off to him. We need these kind of politicians if they come in. So this way, what is going to happen? The homelessness that we see in San Francisco right now, they are talking about bringing the driverless car. Mm. So imagine the homelessness all over the country, because probably 1 out of 6 or 7 person is related in the transportation industry. So somebody has to think about it. And who can make the difference is the politicians. But I'm afraid nobody wants to talk about it. As you rightly said, what is happening in California and San Francisco, nobody was even ready to come on Roe's show. So it speaks a lot, and we have to think about on the bigger picture. Mm.
Edward, what was your response when you heard about this latest suicide?
Well, that's only that we know of that's documented, that's related. There are many that are undocumented as well that we hear that this causes a great degree of PTSD. Imagine that, because there's a constant threat by Uber and Lyft for deactivation, and that's termination from being able to earn a living.
And you're an Uber and Lyft driver.
Uber, Lyft driver. I've driven with 9 different apps. It's been 4 years now, so full time. I know what's happening. I speak with drivers locally, statewide, nationwide, internationally, and they're all saying this is a major problem with this Uberization of the world.
I have spoken to a few taxi drivers who say that people are just on the brink. They cannot make ends meet. As you said, they're dealing with PTSD. Saeed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as when I spoke to you the last time on the Facebook Live, I personally under a debt of $70,000, and that happened in the last 2-3 years. Until the Uber was not allowed to play at the airport, we were still doing very good. But what they did, what they have, it's just like Wild Wild West. Before, they had a gun in their hand and they made their own laws. Now what is happening, they got a phone in their hand, and which is even more deadlier weapon. So now this technology has run amok, and there is nobody to put a check on it. If this is not done, I tell you, they are doing their best to make this country a third world country.
I have spoken with taxi drivers who say they have seen their take-home pay slashed in half over the past couple of years.
As I said, more than that. Why? Because there is no business. What they do, as I said, if the airport was left to the airport, because Uber can operate in every city in the state. But taxi drivers only had the city of San Francisco and the airport. We have no other place to go. And the result is they have taken the airport. They have taken everybody else. And the result is now I go at the airport, the wait is 3 hours. And what I get is probably $45. $4 go to the airport as their fee. What I'm left with? Then there's a credit card transaction. So virtually, I'm making probably like $8 in an hour. So you do the math. Mm-hmm. So now how can you? And again, the thing is here, you have to remember one thing. The only the cab drivers who are suffering is the medallion owners, because they have about 4 kind of medallions. One is a free medallion. They're smiling all the way to the bank. Then there is a price of the medallion, $125,000. They say, all right, we are doing all right. Our expenses are not much. The person who has been thrown under the bus and to the wolves are basically the one who bought the medallion for $250,000. So now they're just like a machine working over and over again. And the result is, as Barry Desire rightly said, basically what we are doing, we are basically is race to the bottom. And the circle keeps, and I cannot get out of it. And now, but the thing is, we are getting some traction from people like you. Before you, I also emailed a forum, that is another KQD show, to do something about this plight of the cab drivers, the medallion owners in particular. I did not hear anything from them. What they did, they brought out, they did a little piece on taxi, but nothing to the related to the medallion owners who are suffering. And just to keep in point, the person who committed suicide had a lot of similarities with the cab drivers.
Edward.
The problem is ever increasing. This is corporations putting profits before people. Being an Uber, Lyft driver, myself, from the beginning, we're looking at a decrease of a good 70, 80% as far as earning potential. Uber had to pay $20 million to FTC for falsely misrepresenting, rather, earning potential. So they are paying, but that is a very small drop in the bucket for a multi-billion dollar corporation whom in the past year alone, now that things are coming to light, they've paid in terms of consequences with a decrease in valuation by approximately $23 billion. So yes, the power of the media and what we're doing here is very significant but needs to grow.
Edward Escobar is a driver for Uber and Lyft. He is working to organize drivers. He's the founder of the Alliance for Independent Workers, hashtag Drivers Unite. We're also joined by Saeed Mohsin. He has been a San Francisco taxi driver for more than 20 years. We invited Lyft and Uber to participate in today's show. Lyft did not respond to our request. Uber said no one was available. The California Public Utilities Commission, which regulates companies like Uber and Lyft, declined to participate. We also invited Assembly members Phil Ting and Evan Lowe, and they both declined to participate. If you would like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. If you're a taxi driver, an Uber, or a Lyft driver, if you work for the CPUC, or if you work in one of the politicians' offices and would like to talk about this, we'd really love to get someone on the record. It seems like everybody wants to just wash their hands of this issue. When I ask a couple of the mayoral candidates, they said, yeah, we should regulate, but that's up to the CPUC. So if you'd like to call in, if you can be anonymous if you'd like, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. And if you take one of these ride-hailing companies, what are your thoughts when you hear people like Edward Escobar talk about how Uber and Lyft drivers are treated? Now I would like to welcome Bhairavi Desai to the show. Bhairavi is founding member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance and a longtime labor organizer. Hi, Bhairavi. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. How are New York politicians responding in light of the suicide of Douglas Shifter? He was not the first one. I understand he's the third driver who has committed suicide.
Yes, and you know, what's notable here is, I mean, New York City has the biggest taxi for a hire vehicle market in the country. We have four different distinct sectors. So, you know, yellow cabs and what we call green cabs and the neighborhood liveries and then traditional black cars, which have really served corporate clients. And, you know, Douglas was a traditional black car driver. He worked for over 30 years. And, you know, in the beginning, I think, you know, there's, of course, the immediate reaction was to kind of brush it aside and say, well, this was a very kind of simple matter of, you know, mental health. But the reality is Douglas Shifter left behind an amazingly prolific set of writing. And, you know, in particular, his last post, where he just laid out with such precision and clarity the devastation that he was facing. And he knew exactly who was to blame for it. He said it was companies like Uber and Lyft and their destructive business model, which is aimed at destroying full-time work. And it's the elected officials who have turned a blind eye to the plight of the workers in favor for Wall Street.
What really stood out for you about the letter that he left after this horrible tragedy happened? A number of cab drivers got together to hold a memorial for Doug Shifter. His brother was interviewed by The Independent and said that if change comes, Doug's sacrifice will not be in vain.
You know, it was, I mean, I tell you honestly, when we first read the note, we most of us just kind of sat there and cried. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was really difficult to get through it, not just because of the sense of pain that one of our brothers had reached such a point of hopelessness, right? But also, you could feel the truth in every single word that this man wrote. You know, we live in historic times of such a large, you know, economic inequality and wage inequality. And what's important to understand is that over the past 20 to 30 years, workers across the economy have been thrown under the bus. And we know, you know, while production has gone up, right, American workers are working longer and harder, incomes have drastically fallen. And as worker movements have picked up, companies like Walmart have sought to bring in part-timeization in order to fight back against worker gains. And what Uber and Lyft have done is taken that destruction of full-time work and really put it on speed, where they're adding to the destruction of full-time work a precariousness of independent contractorship. And so, when brothers like Edward talk about, you know, losing income, you know, if you earn below the minimum wage, it doesn't matter to Uber and Lyft because they're not regulated under the labor laws. You know, it doesn't matter to them, you know, if you earn poverty wages, because they claim they're not responsible for how much you're earning. They want all the control over the worker so they can maximize their own profits. Every driver is expected to be a brand ambassador. If Uber is evaluated at over $30 billion today, it's because of the sweat and labor of the drivers, yet they're left penniless. And, you know, whether it's the Uber driver, or it's the taxi driver, or a traditional black car driver, or a neighborhood livery driver, it is a vicious race to the bottom that no worker can win, because fundamentally, this is an assault on the rights of full-time work and full-time employment. And that's why you're seeing rapid impoverishment. I mean, you look at a place like San Francisco. Mm. I don't think it's a coincidence that there has been historic levels of homelessness and poverty at a time when these tech companies have been given such a carte blanche, a red carpet. You know, and I think what people like us want the world and these politicians to understand is the red on that carpet is the stain of the blood of the workers who you have neglected and forgotten. And we want to say no more. The corruption has to end. We are better as a society. Workers deserve and they need better.
Hmm. Bay Ravi Desai is founding member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance and a longtime labor organizer. Just briefly before the break, Edward, you're a San Francisco Uber and Lyft driver. There have been a lot of stories about how Uber will give drivers incentives to pick up more passengers, but then that incentive keeps rising. And this number was kind of shocking to read from an MIT survey. They looked at driver earnings and found that before taxes, Uber and Lyft drivers are making just under $4 an hour?
If that.
Really?
If that, yeah. Actually, they raise the bar and they create these obstacles and these hoops, if you will, that you have to jump through that are somewhat nearly impossible in many respects, because you have to maintain like a 90% plus acceptance rating. So that means you have to be exclusive with like Lyft, for example, where they'll do that. And so basically, they're forcing you to. They say, oh, yeah, it's flexible. You know, you work when you want. Yeah, no, that's a loss leader, a false misrepresentation of facts, because when you get into the trenches, you see how it is. And it is not as it's misrepresented to be.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. That is Edward Escobar. He's a San Francisco Uber and Lyft driver. founder of the Alliance for Independent Workers. He is working to organize Uber and Lyft drivers. We're also joined today by Saeed Mohsin. He's been a San Francisco taxi driver for more than 20 years, and Bhairavi Desai is founding member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. We invited Lyft and Uber to participate in today's program. Lyft did not respond. Uber said no one was available. The California Public Utilities Commission, which regulates those companies, also declined to participate, and Assembly members Phil Ting and Evan Lowe also declined to participate. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, recent reporting shows how police have ignored or even worked with white supremacists at political rallies. The FBI has warned of white supremacists working in law enforcement 10 years ago. So what has changed since then, and how should these issues be dealt with? That is tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, yourcall@kalw.org. Today, we are talking about what drivers, taxi drivers, Uber drivers are facing, how much money they're making, they're really struggling to make ends meet. On February 5th, New York City driver for hire Doug Shifter shot and killed himself in front of New York City Hall. In a suicide note, he blamed New York politicians for destroying a once thriving industry, saying, "I will not be a slave working for chump change. I would rather be dead." This is the third suicide that we know of in New York. And today we are joined by Bhairavi Desai, founding member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance, longtime labor organizer. Saeed Mohsin, he's been a San Francisco taxi driver for more than 20 years. Edward Escobar is a San Francisco Uber and Lyft driver who is working to organize drivers. He's founder of the Alliance for Independent Workers. We invited Lyft and Uber to participate. Lyft did not respond. Uber said no one was available. The California Public Utilities Commission, which regulates those companies, declined to participate, as did Assembly members Phil Ting and Evan Lowe. Before we get to calls, I'm sure a lot of people's eyebrows went up, Edward, when you said that Uber and Lyft drivers are barely making $4 an hour. So why is it that so many drivers are still on the road?
It's called recruitment, recruitment, recruitment. It's such a high turnover rate of drivers. We don't have good driver retention. When I initially began driving, I brought this to the attention of Uber and Lyft and said, you know, riders are complaining. I just want to let you know, because I want to maintain standards of professionalism here. And it fell upon deaf ears. So because bottom line, the end game is a rush to self-driving cars. Mm. So it's to placate the existing crew of drivers and then just continue to recruit, realize who they're catering to is the potential venture capitalist investors that we're talking about billions of dollars. So what do you have to do in order to encourage investments, especially prior to IPO? You have to have a high number of drivers, high number of riders, high number of rides completed. It doesn't matter if they're done at a loss.
May I just add to that?
Sure, Bhairavi.
Thank you. I mean, I would just add to that that fundamentally, you know, their business model is also about monopolizing, right? They want to put people like Saeed off the roads. I mean, it's San Francisco, you know, with all those of us in the industry, you know San Francisco, you know, really well, because it's one of the few places in the entire world where the majority of the medallion owners, the permit holders, are actually drivers themselves. And that change was brought about after years of struggle by the driver movement. And so today, when we're talking about bankruptcies and foreclosures, and I know that our sister union, the San Francisco Taxi Workers Alliance, has told us that they personally know of at least 90 bankruptcies just, in the past couple of months, and they expect many more in the next couple of months because it's been a really difficult winter. all those bankruptcies, you know, are by individuals. There are individual men and women who've probably been working 20, 30, 10, 15 years, and this was once a family-supporting income. And so one of the reasons that Uber and Lyft fled the streets with vehicles is because for every one passenger that's waiting, they want 10 drivers in line so they can be the first one to pick up that passenger. Doesn't matter to them if the other, if nine drivers go home empty, especially when they don't have to pay for even minimum wage of those nine drivers. You know, so, you know, our tagline in our, we have a unity campaign. We actually have thousands of Uber members in the Taxi Workers Alliance in New York. Because unlike California, in New York City, in order to be an Uber Lyft driver, you do have to have a commercial professional taxi limousine commission license, the same as a taxi driver would. And, you know, our tagline in our unity campaign is, to starve the taxi driver, Uber starves the Uber driver. Mm. The drivers are pitted against each other in the race to the bottom, where the only ones that get to run to the bank are these Wall Street finance companies. And 68% of Uber drivers leave the company within 6 months. This is not how you rebuild an economy. This is a business model that depends on recession. It's not only causing bankruptcies and housing foreclosures for these owner drivers, but it depends on workers being underemployed and unemployed in order to keep their ranks turning. And it's all so that they can maximize their profit. If they have a part-time workforce and a workforce with no retention, then it gets harder for the drivers to organize and defend themselves, especially when down the line they're looking to replace the drivers altogether.
And adding to what Bhairavi had just mentioned, that is exactly why the recruitment is targeted towards immigrants, low incomes, minorities, disabled, seniors, veterans, even ex-felons. So we're looking at this kind of problem where it's the Walmartization of rideshare, but it's even more devious than that, because you're looking at this Walmartization of rideshare, but it's also impacting public safety in the end. And this is global in nature. And when Bhairavi had mentioned about them wanting to have all drivers off the road, true. They want, beyond that, all professional drivers and non-professional, every driver off the road and into their cars. And we're talking about the privatization of public transportation. That's where it's headed.
Mm. We should say Edward Escobar is a San Francisco Uber and Lyft driver, saying that drivers barely make $4 an hour. And Uber recently got a new CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi. According to TechCrunch and Vanity Fair, new Uber CEO may get $200 million. This is a package of stocks and compensation for 1 year, $200 million. We have a number of callers on the line. And I just want to repeat that we did invite Uber and Lyft to join us. Lyft did not respond. Uber said no one is available. The California Public Utilities Commission, which regulates the companies, declined to participate. And Assembly Members Phil Ting and Evan Lowe also declined to participate. Let's hear from Ed in San Francisco. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, a lot of what they said is, I think the gentleman from Uber and Lyft was, well, I think $4 an hour is very low. I make much more than that, but I don't make very much. I'd like to talk about the CPUC. I was at the hearings. I was a taxi driver, and now I'm an Uber driver. At the hearings, it was very obvious that they had made their decision before the hearings ever started to legalize them. I could give you examples, but people were talking about it being corrupt, buying the government was absolutely true.
Hmm.
There was one member of the board of the CPUC who said that she didn't even bother to read the arguments given by the opposition to Uber and Lyft coming in. And since a lot of what they're saying, I just want to note that the insurance that this is actually for the Uber and Lyft drivers, most of them don't understand that they're really not insured. There's a period when when the Uber and Lyft insurance don't cover, and that's when when a driver is trying, looking for a ride.
Stage one.
He's got the thing on. He's got to have his own insurance, but the personal insurance is not valid. And when I went to Uber, they pretty much they tried to pressure me into going to work without. There is commercial insurance available, but they tried to pressure me into going to work right away before I had any insurance. And in fact, it took me about 10 days to look it up. And they called me 5 times and asked me if I was ready to go to work. So I think that most of the people who are driving for Uber and Lyft don't realize that they aren't covered when they're for one third of the time when they're looking for a ride. And furthermore, the people walking the street, if they're hit by an Uber or Lyft driver, in an accident with an Uber or Lyft driver, their odds of getting compensation are extremely limited. They'd have to get themselves a major attorney to get any money whatsoever. Hmm. That's one point that I wanted to make. There's all kinds of other points made.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for those insights, Ed. I mean, I wish we could ask the California CP, the Public Utilities Commission, questions about this, but they refused to come on the show. I want to just quickly talk about lobbying. According to the LA Times, in 2016, Uber and Lyft spent $900,000 combined on lobbying just in California. And there's a new report out from the Partnership for Working Families. According to this report, and you've talked about this, Bayravi, in 2016, Uber and Lyft lobbyists outnumbered Amazon, Microsoft, and Walmart combined. That is a lot of lobbying power and a lot of money.
Oh gosh! I mean, can you imagine? It's overwhelming. You know, it feels like a battlefield when you're up against them, and you know the situation that the caller just described is a direct result of this lobbying power that they hold. I mean, insurance laws have been put in place not just to protect the motorists, but also other passengers and other cars and pedestrians on the streets. I mean, it's a basic, there's a universal principle, right, to any city or state governing insurance laws. And in places like New York, for example, can you imagine, a 90-plus year market that's now, all these states across the country are looking to deregulate insurance law just for these companies. See, what these companies do is they enter into cities, they overwhelm the local municipality that doesn't have enough enforcement capacity, to stop illegal pickups and uninsured pickups, one of the reasons they're illegal. And then these companies go straight to the state legislature where they buy off people one by one. Either they entice them or they threaten them if these legislators speak out against these companies. And so the laws that they look for are, they look at the existing legal framework. So whether it's governing, the insurance requirements for taxis or vehicle standards or driver licensing requirements like security background checks, for example, they get explicit exemption. So the law will say if you're app-based company, then you are explicitly exempt from having to follow this rule or regulation. They're doing that as far as taxi and for hire vehicle laws are concerned, but they're even doing it as far as labor laws are concerned. I mean, in more than half the states across this country, they have used their money to get laws that state that if the worker is dispatched through an app, then they cannot be considered an employee. They won't be covered by minimum wage, overtime, workers' compensation in case of injury, paid family leave, or certainly unionization, the most basic protections that generations of workers have died for in this country to win. Just because if you work for one of these companies, they can continue to control you and determine your economic destiny, but in return, you won't get any basic protections. And by getting these carve-outs, this is a slippery slope. These companies represent less than 1% of the U.S. economy, yet they are getting precedence, which, of course, Wall Street is loving, and it can have a serious ripple effect for other workers across our economy. Imagine if millions of workers no longer had minimum wage protections, where would we be? And that's what these companies are ushering in with that lobbying might.
What can you tell us about Democrats here in California? According to the LA Times, State Senator Ben Allen, a Democrat from Santa Monica, played a key role in killing a bill in a Senate committee that would have limited Uber and Lyft's ability to spike prices during high demand. Do you know, or Edward?
Well, I mean, politicians, they're basically just the front men. Or front persons, if you will, for legislation proposals that are drafted by Uber and Lyft. I mean, it's just how it is. Let's just say it. And so when you're looking at this kind of corporation behavior, which is corporations behaving badly, putting profits before people, that is their sole focus. They did not have this type of corporate sensibility or responsibility training, you know, prior to becoming these tech giants, you know. So we have to look at this type of responsibility that is not being observed and not being recognized or acted upon by these corporations. But I wanted to touch on a point that the caller had made, and I do want to correct that. Yes, you have an opportunity that you can make more money if you work to the point of exhaustion. Driver's exhaustion is like driving drunk. So what do you net after you then deduct your operating expenses and then pay taxes?
The Chronicle had an article recently about Uber and Lyft drivers who come to San Francisco from all parts of the state to get those extra benefits, and they're sleeping in their cars.
That's the new class of homeless.
Well, we have an email from Wayne who says that I'm a current Uber Eats driver. I have vast experience with cabs and limos, and I am a registered cab driver in San Francisco. I have been homeless for 4.5 years. I am using driving and taxi cabs as a leg up, but the expenses of operating the car are so high, and his average pay is $5 an hour.
Yeah.
Saeed?
Yeah. So, again, the thing is, I forgot to mention one thing. Just like driver who committed suicide, in the last 6 months, about 6 cab drivers waiting for the fare at the airport just dropped dead. They did not wake up. So now this is the reality we are dealing
with. What do you mean, in San Francisco?
At the airport lot in the last 6 months.
They dropped dead?
They dropped dead. They did not wake up and they died. And in the last 6 months. Why? Because of tremendous stress they're going through. It's just a cycle that is never going to end until somebody steps in and tries to ameliorate this lot.
There is such a thing as sitting death syndrome. Excessive mm-hmm. long periods of sitting. Mm. That's the second leading cause of death. So then add that new car smell that these folks are sitting in hours on end. And if you're sitting at the airport, perhaps exhaust fumes from airplanes. This goes on and on and on. So this is, like I said, it's greater than just about drivers mm. or riders. This is about public safety. We're talking about the Uberization of the world. My major concern is that these new tech companies that are up and coming are looking at Uber and saying, I want to grow up to be like Uber. And we have to say no, not in our
and
name.
By the way, part of the problem with the deregulation is, so when you have a city like San Francisco, right, so you've got your city attorney, I believe Dennis Herrera, and then I know Supervisor Aaron Peskin, I mean, I've read about this stuff in the news, where they've been looking to hold these companies accountable, because part of what's happening is in California is drivers in Southern California, where there is not a large taxi market, they're all driving into places like San Francisco. And that's part of why San Francisco is getting so clogged and flooded, and it's now even beginning to affect the environment along with, you know, public transportation in this city, and certainly the economic inequality and the rise in homelessness. So they, at the city level, even where, you know, these folks are trying to regulate, because the deregulation in Sacramento is, has taken away local control, you've now have infighting between the cities and the state, and you're seeing it across the country. And that's one of the things that really needs to change in the state of California. San Francisco should be able to regulate in a way that allows its citizenry to survive and not go deeper into poverty.
I'm glad you brought that up, because San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera recently sued the state of California in an effort to block a law that allows companies like Uber and Lyft to dodge local business licensing requirements. So for the next show, we'll maybe invite Dennis Herrera on. We did invite Assemblymembers Phil Ting and Evan Lowe to join us. They declined. Lyft did not respond. Uber declined. And the California Public Utilities Commission also declined. Bayravi Desai is a founding member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Saeed Mohsin has been a San Francisco taxi driver for more than 20 years. And Edward Escobar is an Uber and Lyft driver who founded the Alliance for Independent Workers. Let's go next to Judith in San Francisco. Hi, Judith. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I know you're talking a lot about regulations and the, you know, legality and business side of these organizations, and I wanted to call in and add a little bit on the user side. I'm a longtime San Francisco resident, 20 years. I use Lyft now more exclusively than Uber because of the bad image. I'm one of those users that hates that I support these organizations, knowing the details around the drivers. And yet I find myself, you know, having to, for reasons of convenience and availability and just overall customer service. And, you know, when I first moved here, I remember stories arguing with taxi drivers that, you know, are saying they know better where to go, or smoky taxis. Just, I'm wondering on the taxi side, if you could offer me a service that was equal to governing customer service and availability and convenience and the tech around it, I would switch in a heartbeat. And I think there's so much power in the end user. If we didn't support Lyft and Uber, they wouldn't exist. And I just wanted to bring that up, and, you know, wondering what, on the taxi side, what is going on, and are you talking about the end user, and why are so many people using these?
Yeah, I've heard this a lot, Judith. Thank you. Saeed, you've been driving a cab for 20 years.
I'm glad you brought this point. But again, the thing is, you must have not taken a cab for a long time, because now the cab industry has changed a lot. Why? Because we have a wake-up call. It's a reality. But again, remember one thing, that if you're getting something for an inexpensive price, remember somebody is losing a job. Mm. And keep in mind, someday it could be your job. So the thing is, get in a cab and see how the experience is. We have flywheel. I'm not very fond of flywheel.
You're not?
No.
So
just to let
people know, flywheel is an app.
It's an app,
And I've used it. Yeah. It takes maybe three minutes for someone to come. Why don't you like it?
But they take 14.5% from my pocket, and my pocket is not deep at all. Hmm. And for that matter, I mean, a yellow cab has an app. It doesn't cost me anything. Of course, I have to pay like $200, $1,250 just for my color scheme. That includes $800 of insurance. In the comparison, how much an Uber driver pays in insurance? So if I pay a little more, if you pay a little more to ride in a cab, but again, what you're getting is safety. You're getting a camera in the car. If you're a young girl, like I got a young daughter, I would never want her to go in a stranger's car. Get in a cab, there's a camera. There's some recourse, you're safe. But again, the thing is, everybody wants a shortcut to get somewhere, and they don't realize the bigger picture, bigger consequence. One thing I'll add, all this problem started from Amazon. I call Amazon Uber is a down payment for the poverty of this country, and people are not realizing this.
Mm. So I just want to be clear, Flywheel, the app, takes 14.5%
from the driver.
And then there is a yellow cab app?
Yeah, it doesn't cost me anything. But again, I have to pay $1,250 just for my color. And this is despite paying $250,000 for buying the so-called medallion.
Which you did.
Yeah. So the thing is, everybody is...
Can we talk about solutions? I just looked at the clock. We've got 5 minutes left. For the medallion, quickly, Saeed, how would you like the city, the state, to deal with people who spent $250,000 like you did for a medallion?
Yeah. My solution is very simple. Give my money back. bring more Ubers, more Lyft. At least this way, I'm not entangled in this whole situation.
What other solutions would you
like to
see?
Other solution is give us back our airport. Give the rest of the city and the adjoining cities, Burlingame, whatever, give it to them. But give us back our airport.
The taxi
and,
drivers. Ban Uber and Lyft from going to the airport.
I mean, let the vans come, not Uber and Lyft. Because they're the one. And again, the thing is, if this Uber X was not there, we would have been okay.
What is Uber X?
Uber X is the one anybody can take a car and get in a car and pick up. If it was TCP licensed, we would have been fine. We were okay with it. But the problem is the proliferation of all these cars.
Edward, what solutions would you like to see?
Well, I'm concerned about the damage Uber and Lyft are doing to what it means legally to be an independent contractor in this country. We have a serious concern about misclassification of employment. They're calling us independent contractors and treating us less than employees. That means no worker safety net. So we're not getting paid like independent contractors should be because we have to provide and cover our own expenses. And we're not being treated with any respect or consideration for what we bring to the table. Their multi-billion dollar corporation is built on the backs of drivers. So we have a problem here moving forward because Lyft states that half of their fleet is going to be self-driving by 2021.
And what happens at that point?
Well, exactly. All these folks who were bait and switched to work and misrepresented to work with Uber and Lyft, they're going to be thrown onto the welfare system. So then taxpayers are going to be subsidizing the bottom line corporate profits of Uber and Lyft. Isn't that nice?
Mm. Bhairavi, what solutions would you like to see? You've got a long list in New York. We have about
One, we want to see a cap on the number of vehicles so the proliferation doesn't continue. We want to see the misclassification end and labor laws to be protected and upheld and a real audit of these companies and their misclassification. We want to see the same rate of fare across all of the sectors. The meter in the taxi industry is regulated. That should be the UberX meter rate so these companies cannot continue to slash the rates at the expense of the Uber driver or at the expense of the taxi driver. That would be equivalent to our minimum wage floor for professional drivers.
Well, we will definitely continue this conversation. We've got a number of callers and people writing in, and I'm sorry we didn't get to all of you, but thank you for calling. Thanks for sharing your stories. We just got another email from Wayne who says he's been homeless for 4 years. He says he still drives a taxi, and yesterday his take-home pay was $35. Today, we've been joined by Bhairavi Desai, founding member of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Edward Escobar is a San Francisco Uber and Lyft driver who's founder of the Alliance for Independent Workers. And Saeed Mohsin has been a San Francisco taxi driver for more than 20 years. Thank you all for coming in. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk about recent reporting showing how police have ignored or even worked with white supremacists at political rallies. Police departments around the nation spend little time training recruits about hate crimes. Most don't even track hate crimes. 10 years ago, the FBI warned of white supremacists working in law enforcement. So what has changed since then, and how should these issues be dealt with? That's on tomorrow's Your Call. Your Call is produced here at KALW. If you'd like to listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at yourcallradio. Laura Wenis produced today's show. Josh Wilner is our social media producer. Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thank you for joining us. It's Your Call.